The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
The Bird Show.
Go show it. It's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday.
Do your thing like it ain't meant to win. Shake that girl. I take you to the candy shop.
50, big day for him today. Big day for him today. He's got Get Rich or Die Trying coming out. You're seeing the posters all over the place. There's a soundtrack that goes along with it also. I think he was just nominated for a whole bunch of Vibe Awards also. 50's feeling pretty good about 50 right now. 50, you there?
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Oh, man, everything's good.
The first thing we got to ask you is, are you East Coast right now or are you West Coast?
East Coast.
Okay, so it's 9 o'clock to you because I know... Like, if it was on the West Coast and it was 6 o'clock your time, then I got to ask you the remedial questions.
Because you're more awake right now,
that's right?
That's
right.
Yeah, I'm up.
All right. Hey, 50, before we get into some of the stuff that you've got your hands into right now, I want to get a professional opinion from you.
Okay.
And I want to tell you where I'm going with this. Dallas Austin here, you know Dallas Austin, big-time producer here in Atlanta,
yeah.
Right? I mean, he's worked with everybody. This guy's the man, right?
Yeah.
Well, the mayor of Atlanta... has assigned him a really tough job, and that is to write an anthem for the city of Atlanta.
Wow.
So this is a song that is supposed to represent all 4.5 million people here, all walks, lives, all communities and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Now, this guy is a genius, obviously, but it's a pretty tough order.
That's a tough, right? I think they should have took the, what's the name? The, it's a new record Ludacris and put out. Is it Georgia? Georgia.
From Ludacris?
Great job.
From Ludacris? Because everybody here was thinking that Jermaine.
I think it's his group.
From Luda's group. I'm in the dark. I do want to say
you
this.
You heard the record?
Uh-uh. I haven't heard that song.
They got a sample from Ray Charles in there. Go, Georgia.
I think, maybe.
I haven't heard that.
I don't know if I've heard that version, yeah.
You know what I want to do, though, is I want to play, like, the 30-second... kind of piece of audio that we have of the Dallas Austin anthem for you and like get your professional opinion on it.
All right.
Because we've played it the last couple of days and I'm bummed for Dallas, but you know, like Atlanta's like not embracing it. So let me play it for you. Tell me what you think. All right. At this point, that's all of the song that we have.
Wow.
Now, from a professional standpoint, I mean, you're in the industry. What do you think?
It sounds like a great record. It sounds like a regular party record, though.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound like an anthem.
See, I think that's what people are getting all jacked up about. Like, it's a good... Well,
I think that, there was so much, because Atlanta's trying to do a whole new branding thing. So it's not just an anthem, that we have a new logo, and it's just, you know, trying to get more business into the city of Atlanta. And I just think that it was a lot of pressure on Dallas to come up with something. And I think we were already told something was coming. So I think our expectation was up. And so it's almost like 50 just said, like, we, I guess we expected it to be different than what it ended up being.
Right. I mean, when you say anthem, I'm thinking along the Star Spangled Banner.
Oh.
Something a little bit more traditional.
Yeah.
That's a tough order. Like, if a mayor of a city comes to you and says, I want you to make a song that represents the whole
city. It would never come to me.
they might.
They don't want to hear what you have to say?
Hey, Magic Kids, listen.
That's a tough order. It's a really tough order. But we just wanted to throw that by you to see, like, somebody in the industry to see what they thought about it, you know?
Yeah.
That's tough. It's a tough order. Well, let's talk about Get Rich or Die Trying here. A little bit of controversy starting to come out about it already, but you're used to handling this kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yesterday, the L.A. community leaders were coming out and saying they were repulsed by your movie's posters, Get Rich or Die Trying, because of the guns on the posters. How do you respond to all that?
I mean, it's a gun on the poster. How often have you seen a gun used for marketing for a film?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we go on the local Blockbusters or wherever we can rent DVDs or movies, you're going to see it probably more than you see people's faces.
Right.
You know, these are standards that are placed on music as an art form that aren't placed on any other form of entertainment. And because I'm coming from music to film, they still want to feel like it's a problem, like, you know, say things about it. But, you know, The Rock got something coming out right now with a huge gun on the cover. The Matrix.
Oh, Doom? Talking about Doom?
Yeah. So many different things that they come out with that have guns in it. Everybody's shown guns before on the advertisement for a film.
So you think the reason why they're focusing on you is because you're trying to go from music to movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they have a problem with... Think about it. When the last time you seen a gun on the cover of a CD, it was being distributed by a major company. That was probably 97, with KRS-One, Criminal Minded. You know what I mean? Like, for me, you have to do that art. You have to put that art inside the packaging.
Do you think that there is a social responsibility in art and in your music? I mean, do you feel a responsibility to your fan base? We sort of debate that on this show a lot with different artists.
Yeah, I do. But you know what? I write a music that's a reflection of the environment that I come from.
Mm-hmm.
Our responsibility is to write the true perspective of what goes on there. See, they pick a situation, probably a day, to put in the newspaper that goes on where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
When there's several situations that go on, like when they speak about me being shot 9 times, that has been beaten into the heads of the general public through different media outlets and other publications because the journalists are infatuated with it.
Uh-huh.
Trust me, I wouldn't ask to talk about that if they didn't ask me those questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know people who've been through more. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if you look at the actual format, like for entertainment, period. In the history of entertainment, they build entertainment in order to destroy them for the sake of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So as I start to get to a point where I don't even feel like I'm peaking, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It starts to be new obstacles constantly.
Is there more pressure on starting out? Or is it pressure when, you know, like you said, they think you're peaking. Is there more pressure now that you're successful and they're just finding a way to knock you off the top of the mountain?
Well, I think that's a difficult, you know, because you have other things going on when your pressure is there with you coming out. You know, like your financial problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that pressure is probably more than when you are at, you know, in a good space. And everything else is there, but people just want to see you not do well.
Mm-hmm. What is, like, 50, I got to ask you this question, because it always seems like there's like something. Like, you got to be looking over your shoulder. It seems to me like in just about every corner of your world, you know, like, if it's not the media, then it's other artists that are taking shots at you. Like, what do you see could be the most dangerous thing to your empire already? Like, what's the thing that you fear? Do you fear anything?
Losing focus, that's all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
For me, can't nobody do nothing to me to hurt my situation outside of myself. And that's me not being focused and creating the best possible product. You know what I mean? As far as going in to make music for a new album, I believe that they didn't really want to see this record do as well as the last one. And to date, I have the best-selling album this year.
And why do you think that is?
Because I did a good job, man. I sat there, I worked on my project. I know better than to stop working now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just relaxed for a little bit while I was putting out Lloyd Banks' album and Young Buck's record. I just kind of sat back. And then I started creating again, and I felt all this new pressure because, you know, there's a shadow of doubt cast over artists between each project he releases, regardlessly. Because you're dealing with the general public, and I didn't understand that I showed nothing but consistency having my album sell 11 million records. Banks for Mercy, our group album sold 3.5. Banks sold 2. Buck sold 1.5. Didn't have Game Record come out and be a success. And still have people doubt me. They didn't doubt whether I could make a good record. They said, do you think you can do it again? Mm-hmm. Because I had so much success my first album. And at the end of the day, you know, I realized that they only doubt me because generally people in the public don't believe in themselves. So that has to happen. It's the telephone game. As one person asks the other one, you think you're going to do it again? And then that starts to become the move.
50, is some of this starting to beat you down a little bit? Because as I was reading some interviews that you've done recently on the internet, I started to catch this reoccurring theme like, maybe I'm going to head over to Europe for a little while. Maybe I'm going to take myself out of the U.S. public eye.
It, you know what? For a moment, like after the release of the massacre, I was ready to go out of the country because I have more fun performing outside of the United States than I do performing here.
Really? Why?
Because people overseas, they have to make a decision to enjoy hip-hop as an art form. They have to search for it, you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
What it is a lot of the people that come see me, my venues is as exactly the same size. I do 30,000 people a night while I'm overseas. So while I'm outside of the country, I got an audience of people. Some of them don't even speak English.
Mm-hmm.
Watch my music break the language barrier. They're that excited about being in the actual environment and while everything's going on that they come out. And the energy level is higher. They still can view things from a fan perspective because they're not that personal with it. In the U.S., everybody feels like they have what it takes.
Mm.
So they watch from a critic standpoint.
Mm.
You know, if they don't have an actual major record label deal, their homeboy down the block got his own studio in the basement, and he feels like he's an independent record company.
Now, this is almost like a double-edged sword, because if all rappers and hip-hop artists had your attitude and moved to Europe, then Europeans would start to develop the same attitudes as Americans, and you'd just be traveling all over the world trying to find a new audience.
Yeah, but the significance of my situation is I can go over there and have the same venues. A lot of artists don't go overseas a lot because they take a pay cut. They're not as popular over there.
Mm-hmm.
So they end up in smaller venues and get less money for performing.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't go out there. But in my case, and them is King Kong out there. Like, he's the biggest. When we go out there together, the 30,000 people venues turn into 80,000. We're on the soccer field.
Wow.
I want to talk about some of these artists, 50, that I don't know if you want to call it in competition with, but just that are in the same genre, same format. Because I read yesterday that at one point you had said Kanye is successful because of you.
Yeah.
Why is that?
See, what I was saying is, they, like, even the resistance that I'm getting towards being on a poster with a gun, like the advertisement of a film with a gun, you know how often you've seen these things. They're making a decision to try and go against what I'm writing creatively.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, having my album come out the first time, I outperformed everybody as far as show dates. I performed 300 shows in 365 days on Get Rich or Die Trying. Away from that, my album sold 11 million copies. I outsold everybody that came out the year that I came out. And still, I was overlooked as best new artist. So my music outperformed everybody's, but they decided not to give me best new artist. uh-huh. at the Grammy. Now, Kanye West, when he came right after that. Mm-hmm. And it's non-confrontational.
He's more palatable.
Yeah, it's easier. Okay. For, like, if you look, you'll see him on the cover of Time magazine, mm-hmm. not because his success as a musician is placing him there, but he's not. It's an easier go. We can pick this and go. His theme is college dropout.
But his song was about Jesus and not about get rich or die trying. Is that what right. you mean?
Yeah, you know what I mean? And at the end of the day, regardless, the overall theme is my trophies come, they usually have signatures under them. They check.
Right.
You see what I mean? And these people make decisions on, that's politics, that's all. You know, and I don't like to get involved with it much. You know, I say what I feel. Mm-hmm. Same way Kanye West will say exactly what he feels. I actually like him for the things that he said.
So is that frustrating for you, not to take home these awards you feel like you've earned?
It's not frustrating. You know what? I only care about the shows that are actually based on the performance of the music.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm in a financial space where I'm content with where I'm at. Ambition is not a learned behavior. I think it's a part of a person's character. And for me, what makes me happy is creating a new goal and accomplishing it. So mm-hmm. I'll continue to work. It may not appear that I'm happy with where I'm at because I'll constantly work on something new. If this is what makes me happy. But I am content. I really look at the sound scan as an indication of how many people I'm reaching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So are the Vibe Awards one of these awards that you really feel are credible that you'd like to take home?
Billboard is. Billboard Awards are based on the actual performance of the music.
Mm-hmm. So it's not an opinion. These are based on facts. These are based on stats. These are based on money. And that's what you're about.
That's right. Billboard and ASCAP. And I've been ASCAP Writer of the Year for, you know, I didn't get it 1 year because I didn't have a record out.
Mm-hmm. How about Get Rich or Die Trying? Now, the movie, this has got to fire you up. Because now, I mean, if there's one thing you've told us in the couple of times that we've talked now is that you're always looking to kind of try to stretch yourself, go to the next level. Mm-hmm. And now we're looking at acting.
Yep.
So how important is it to you now for this movie to be financially successful?
Oh, man, it's important for me, for the people to go out and enjoy the film. I actually took a pay cut making this film. If I was touring for the 3.5 months that I was on a movie set in Toronto shooting it, I would have made more money. It's not even about that. For me, it's an opportunity to draw my base closer to me.
Mm-hmm.
For them to understand some of my experiences. They learn more about my past, they'll understand why I'm making the decisions I'm making in the future,
mm-hmm.
which will make me just more entertaining to them, period.
So the movie really, you look at the movie more as a marketing tool to sell the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is loosely based on your life?
Yes.
Okay.
How loose?
It's about 75% factual.
Okay.
And then, you know, they use the tools in Grossman in some situations, they expand, and others, they minimize it.
Does it reflect any of your childhood? We know your mom passed when you were fairly young. Is that addressed in the film?
Yeah.
Do you have memories of her?
Yeah. When I was 8, like, my mom used to come around and stuff.
Is there anything that you wanted to put in this movie that the movie company said, oh, no, that's never going to fly?
You know what? They let me make the changes. I made a lot of changes early with Terry Winters, the guy who came out to compile information and create the screenplay for Get Rich or Die Trying.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of got what I wanted early. And then I stopped asking for everything else. I just relaxed because I got the overall story. I was comfortable with it. And then I was able to get with Jim Sheridan. I had a great director on this film. You know, and as me and him linked up, I just sat in the back seat. I let him take control. You know what I mean? It's my first experience being on a film set, and I wanted to learn as much as possible, so I was paying really close attention to everything that was going on. Wow.
What'd you learn while you were
following instructions?
What'd you learn while you were on that movie set? You said you were learning a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, man. My comfortability with being in front of the camera is probably 100 times more than you than before. See, when you're in front of the camera doing music videos, you're usually performing into camera.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing on film.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a good point. Movie comes out, is it this week?
The movie will be out November 9th.
And soundtrack?
Soundtrack November 8th. I'm excited about that. I got a chance to write the soundtrack while I was making the film, in between. And like, there's a scene in the film where the young version of my character, Marcus, is looking in the store at a pair of sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I created the concept for the song Window Shopper. I just wrote it from a 50 Cent perspective opposed to the actual character.
Mm-hmm.
So you, I'm guessing that helped in the writing of the soundtrack. I mean, if you're shooting this movie and you're writing music for it at the same time, that's got to help.
Well, you know what? It at some points it did. Some points it got confusing because it's difficult to write for scenes in a film because you have all of the information about the film in your head because you read the entire script. So you start giving up things that are going to happen next before they actually happen, so you got to go back and rewrite it.
That does make sense. That could be all confusing.
You know, like...
And again, the movie coming out November 9th, soundtrack November 8th, correct?
Yep.
I got
my new sneaker through RBK, the G63. It'll be in stores November 10th. My video game, Bulletproof, through Universal Indy, comes out November 15th. G-Unit Watches hit stores November 22nd. Got a lot of things going on.
I always wonder, how much input do you really have in a shoe? Like, you can't know much about shoes.
I know what I like. I keep telling them what, and they keep going back until I'm happy with the shoe.
Mm-hmm.
See, my shoes have a more classic vibe. You see the new shoes that out kind of look like space shoes.
Mm-hmm.
They're going towards, like, all the new basketball shoes, they use patent leather and these silvers and all this other stuff. I'm really with all of that. You know, so I haven't toned my shoes all the way down. I go back to something that will have a kind of classic vibe, but a new twist to it.
We're going to come out with the same thing. We got to learn a little bit of marketing from 50 here. We're coming out with the Burt Show shoe.
I like it.
You wait for it.
Burt Show shoe?
Yeah, Burt Show shoe, man. Over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to start designing this thing. All right, dude. All right, 50, good talking to you, man. Good luck with everything. Good luck with the soundtrack. Good luck with the movie. And good luck with the other 914 projects you got your hands in, man.
All right.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, peace.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Burt Show.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.